You too, David.
So we're talking about perhaps a return to the era in which the United States was consistently a net exporter. What's going on here?
Well, yes, we've got the data for closing out 2017, and it indicates that that's the first year that we're a net exporter since 1957.
Wow.
And so, yeah, pretty crazy, 60 years. The reason that has happened is because of increasing production in the US, which essentially is pushing out the need for imports. And so now we're getting nearly two-thirds of our production coming through from shale. Shale is the real driver of why we're seeing this situation. And because of that, we're starting to see exports as well now. So not only are we importing less, but we're exporting more.
All right, now I got to ask you about the LNG itself, because I think many Texans appreciate propane. Certainly Hank Hill does. But what's so appealing about LNG anyway? I mean, what's the thing about LNG?
It is 600 times more dense as a liquid than as a gas. So it takes up 600 times less space. That said, you do have to freeze it to minus 250 degrees Fahrenheit to turn it into a liquid. But because it is that 600 times more dense, it is conducive to pop it onto one of these LNG tankers, which kind of have these domes on them. You should look up a picture. They're kind of mad looking. And they're heading across to Asia. Asia is the accounts for like 75% of global demand, and that's really where the market is. That said, now there's more LNG leaving the US. It is going to Latin America, to Europe as well, but it's also going to the Middle East. We're sending natural gas into Kuwait, into the United Arab Emirates. We're essentially selling ice to the Eskimos, it feels.
Well, now I've been reading that there's some concern. I think Shell is making the most noise about it, that there are infrastructure problems and there might be a sort of a supply-demand gap.
Yeah, we've seen so much production coming online, particularly in the Northeast, in Marcellus there, where they just haven't been able to build out the infrastructure quick enough. They've had pipelines built which were going in the opposite direction, essentially, to supply them. And then suddenly they've realized that they've got all this gas. And so there's pipeline reversals, there's pipelines being built. It's the same in Texas as well, David, in that Permian Basin is increasing its oil production so much that there's going to be capacity constraints. There's not enough pipelines to get that oil out of there. Natural gas in the Permian Basin is an associated gas, which essentially means you're getting gas out at the same time as you're getting the oil. And so the same problems are going to be coming to fruition in Texas as well, in that there isn't enough infrastructure to actually get the gas out of there.
That's fascinating. Now let's connect the dots here. What does all this mean for the energy market, and what do you think this is going to do to prices?
Well, for us guys that have natural gas for our main utility fuel, it's a good thing because prices are going to remain really low as they have done for a number of years now. The one concern is that we see so much leaving the US that it hikes prices up a bit. The numbers that we're talking about here is about 6 BCF a day. That's billion cubic feet a day of exports we could see in a couple of years' time, which is about 8% of total consumption in the US. So that's not to be sniffed at. That's a large amount. But if we do see prices rise, we'll see more production coming to market, which will help keep those prices lower again.
Matt Smith, Director of Commodity Research at Clipper Data. Matt, till next time.
Thank you.